You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
'Tis the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it? Down at your local Green King sports pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends, old and new. So get the team to your local for refreshing pints, delicious food, and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky, and Amazon is live at Green King Sport. That means wall-to-wall action on our huge HD screens. Head to your local Green King and watch every winning goal, top bins, volley, and dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sport app and you'll receive 10% off drinks every single time there's sport on the telly. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Tottenham fans around the world, this is Theo Delaney in North London welcoming you to another Spurs show. Just a couple of days after Christmas, with Spurs nestling nicely in the top four following a third successive Premier League victory over the division's form team, Everton, 2-1 on Saturday. But lest we are tempted to feel all is good in the world, we learned today that the hamstring twinge that forced Cristiano Ronaldo off at half-time in that game we'll keep him out now for several weeks, adding to our ongoing injury and availability crisis. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, especially it seems at this time of year. So in this special post-Christmas little show, a holding pattern, me and Rob White are going to assess this state of affairs. Rob White, how are you? Welcome back and happy Christmas.
Hello, Cleo. I'm nice to be here. I'm really pleased that she said open the fridge. I actually saw the back of the fridge for the first time in about 5 or 6 days, I think. So I'm making my way through it. I think I'm now starting to resemble a flesh-coloured fridge myself, actually.
well done, mate, for sticking with it. Perseverance. I've had a crowd of people here for weeks. It seems like weeks anyway, and they're still here. But I love them all dearly. Obviously, Rob, that goes without saying. Yeah, I mean, we can look back on the Everton game, which it was pleasing, certainly in terms of the results. But as I said, there have yet again been unfortunate repercussions. So you were there, Rob, of course.
I was. And it's that weird time of year where you can't remember whether the last game was 2 weeks ago or yesterday. But I was at the Everton game and I thought we did really well, actually. We're in all things considered. I liked the fact that Sean Dyche tried a bit of shithousery. Tried to, won the toss and turned us round. So as
always
we were
does that.
Kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's number one on the Sean Dyche list of tactics.
Yeah, that's basically his modus operandi.
And it backfired spectacularly because obviously we scored two goals in the first half. Yeah, and I thought, Everton were as you said, they're the form where they were. I think they still probably are a form team in the division.
Yeah.
And I thought we rode our luck a little bit, but hung in there. And I thought there was some real positives from it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you totally. I felt at the end of it, Jesus Christ, we were a bit lucky to get away with all 3 points there, because they were really, really pushing, and they went very, very close a couple of times. I was a bit disgruntled about that, because I was thinking, bloody hell, it's only Everton. We ought really not to be struggling to beat them at home. And then I realised as I was leaving the ground that actually there were at least 7 first-choice players not on the pitch for us, because not only did we start without a bunch of first-choice players, crucial ones, obviously in the shape of Van der Ven and Maddison in particular, Udogie, but also we lost 3 during the course of the game. I mean, Romero went off at half-time, Richarlison went off, and I think Saar went off, didn't he, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, you went off after about 70 odd, maybe slightly earlier. Yes.
Yeah. It looked very much as if, I mean, when you consider that, not many teams can you know, play without 7 first choice players, 6 or 7 first choice players, and still beat a team that's just won 4 on the bounce in the Premier League. So from that perspective, it was actually good going. And another example of, we often say we haven't got the depth and all that, and clearly the players that come in, obviously by definition, are less good than the ones they're coming in for, but they're still good players, and a lot of them are seasoned internationals. If you look at Lo Celso, Dier and Højbjerg, imagine how many caps they've got between them. I mean, they've been regular recent international. I mean, Dier's got something like 40 or 50 caps for England. I don't know how many. Lo Celso's probably got a similar number for Argentina. Højbjerg has been an absolute stalwart for Denmark for years. These are top players, and they don't get into the first 11, but they do come on and put a shift in. And actually, in the case of Dier, he might have to put some more shifts in, because it's been a strange, obviously, season for him, because he's been nowhere near to being a preferred choice. But now that Romero, this is the earth-shattering news. This is the headline. If we're doing a Spurs show today, the headline is we've lost Romero now for several weeks. And that is massive, because for several reasons. One, we lost him for 3 or 4 games recently to suspension. And that was exactly when we were on our terrible run. We didn't win without him. And before that, with him, we were unbeaten. So that'll tell you a lot. He came back, we started winning again. It's really that simple. The second reason it's a massive problem is of course that we're still without Van der Ven. So that's both of our top centre halves out. And Davis has been doing excellent, when you consider that he's not even a centre half by trade. You really do have to say he's been doing brilliantly well, but he's certainly been doing a lot better when he's been alongside Romero. The other problem is that, you know, there are all sorts of other availability problems coming up in the shape of the, you know, these international tournaments, the Asian Cup and the African Cup of Nations. So it's exactly, yet again, this just seems to happen every single game, something diabolical happens. I mean, the previous game, it was Udogie getting a booking and being suspended. Udogie's such a crucial player. I mean, at least he's back. His suspension was only one game this time. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, there's talk, obviously, about buying a centre-half. How do you see us? Do you think we'll... I mean, it really has been that simple. With Romero, we don't lose. Without Romero, we lose. Do you think that's something that is likely to continue, Rob? Are you fearful of that?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a week earlier, you'd be slightly dubious about South American player wanting Christmas and New Year off.
Yeah.
I think it's quite an interesting... Because of the number of injuries, and there is really no way of sort of working out whether this is true or not. But you do think when a new coach comes in and training regimes change and patterns of play and the way we're playing now, you know, maybe that has got something to do with some of the injuries that are happening.
Maybe. Well, Rob, as you will have seen as you gaze at your computer screen here, we have been joined by another guest. This is our surprise, listeners. We have not billed him. But I've got a lovely surprise for you. Mark Trainers has joined us a little late, but he's here and we're delighted to see him. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thank you. Now I got over my internet issues this evening.
Completely threw me there, Mark, when you turned up on the screen. Lovely to see you, mate.
Good to see you both.
Have you had a lovely Christmas, Mark?
The wonders of modern... It's been lovely.
Good.
All the cooking.
Good.
So the food was spectacular. So what more can I say?
Of course. Well, it's good to see you. Let me update you on where we've got to on this. We were talking about, obviously, we're reviewing the Everton game and the repercussions thereof. What we've concluded is that we've done well to beat and inform Everton, given that we had about 7 first-choice players not on the field by the end of the game. But we are concerned about the news about Romero, who's going to miss the next several games. Postecoglou said 4 to 4 or 5 weeks. And that is really bad news in as much as we've just been saying, he has, with him, we don't lose. This is how the season's gone so far. With him, we don't lose. Without him, we lose. That's been the simple, the story of the season so far. And now we're going to be without him for 4 or 5 weeks. How worrying is that for you, Mark?
It's worrying if we don't bring in a centre-back very early in the window. And said at the press that Van de Ven could be back by the United game, which is the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean we've got 2 Premier League games, which is Brighton and Bournemouth,
mm-hmm.
and the FA Cup tie against Burnley to get through.
Mm.
It's very concerning. And I mean, I have one or two theories on this. I think one of them is an overspill from last season's World Cup. You look at the players that played the most minutes at that World Cup. We had 3 that all went to the final weekend. Lloris spent the last 3 months of the season injured. Perisic is now out for the season. And Romero has had 2 or 3 injuries added onto the suspensions. But then you look at other players as well for other clubs. And funnily enough, that lot up the road who didn't have that many minutes of players at the World Cup, Saliba spent most of it on the bench. Gabriel didn't go. Martinelli was a sub. Jesus was a sub. Odegaard was there with Denmark. The only ones that played were Rice, Saka, and that's about it. Ben White went home because he couldn't get in the team.
Yeah. And also, it turned out to be a bad egg.
Ramsdale sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And the American goalkeeper played a few games. So they've had a lot less minutes when you add in Nations League games through the summer, 3 international breaks this season. They're human beings. Yes, they're very highly trained and great physical specimens, but they're still human beings.
Yeah,
and the stop start with the VAR is the other one.
Yeah, I do think there is a change in the style of play, obviously, and I think that training will have changed that. There's a lot more physicality. So I think there's an association. I don't think there's a blame with that. I just think it's a fact. If a club changes regime, then I think there's that plays part of it, I think.
How confident are you that they're going to actually dip the hand in the till and actually get someone in? I mean, I know
Big Ange said today it doesn't change anything. The centre-back injury doesn't change anything as far as he's concerned. I also liked... It was a great Big Ange quote of "you can't accelerate time," which is brilliant because he's now sort of entering into the realms of physics.
Yeah, Bill, it's metaphysics and...
Exactly, that's up there with my Big Ange quotes of the season so far.
Yeah, yeah, the man speaks. We all listen. And the thing about also getting someone in is, I mean, we don't just need to get... the sort of player they tend to buy... isn't necessarily a ready-made Premier League walk straight in and do a great job. And there aren't many, I mean, to be fair, there aren't many of them around. I mean, the last time anyone that springs to mind, I mean, Liverpool did it with Van Dijk, of course, and he was an actual Premier League player as well as being a very, very top-rate one. And I suppose Manchester United bought Varane, but I don't think that was in January either. I mean, you'd have to really fork out to get a player that can walk into that side, and then you've got all those other issues about, well, what happens when Romero and Van de Ven are fit? Does that mean they then don't play? There's talk of maybe getting someone who can... some of these defenders who can play fullback or centre-back. But then we've got two very, very well-established full-backs as well. And Udogie and Porro have been absolutely outstanding. Porro, I'm starting to think, is the outstanding unsung hero of the year because he doesn't miss games at all. And he's never less than an 8 out of 10, is he, Porro? I mean, and he doesn't seem to get noticed that much. I think possibly because he started so unpromisingly, people are still reserving judgment. But, I mean, you know, we've had so many great players so far this season. But go on, Mark. Yeah.
I was going to say it's funny because he can't get in the Spain squad, which is obviously to our benefit.
Yeah, it's bloody brilliant. Maybe that's why he doesn't get injured, because he's not having to play international football. The funny thing is, when he was useless for us last season, he was getting picked by Spain, but he was so useless for them, they banished him forever. I mean, now he'd get, I mean, you'd put him in any team. He's such a great, it's not just that he's a good fullback. He's one of those modern fullbacks. He's just like Udogie and people like Trent Alexander-Arnold and maybe, you know, Trippier, the modern Trippier. And he's just a great all-round footballer, isn't he? He's got everything. He's got pace and incredible strength. He's got a good touch. He can pass the ball. He's really tenacious. And I love his attitude. He just really just looks like that final ingredient that not all great or not all really talented players have, which is that ferocious desire to win, which is, you know, an invaluable quality. I love him. I love Porro. And I think it's about time he got more. Has he got a song? Don't think he has, has he?
I don't think so. No.
Not sure. But you look at both of our fullbacks were both bought as wingbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How many times did the Twitterverse tell us in the summer that
they won't work?
Porro can't play in a back four. It won't work. Can't play in a back four.
Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it?
For me, aside from Porro, and there's been a lot of mentions for Vicario.
Yeah,
certainly in the media on Sky and what have you. But the one for me at 21 years of age is Papsar.
The kid has got
the most unbelievable engine.
Yeah.
Well, you can say, oh, he's 21, he should be able to run around.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, again, invaluable. That kind of engine is so, because he's really the epitome of his ear. He's there. He's everywhere. Perhaps, that's an old song. I haven't heard that one for a few decades. But, I mean, that could have been about him, couldn't it? He pop up anywhere. You say, oh, Christ, how did he get there? And he's a great all-round footballer.
No disrespect to Oliver Skip, but it shows you everything that Skip isn't.
Yeah,
and I do like Skip, but I think he's very limited.
Yeah, well, like you say, I mean, Skip in most teams would look a very good player. Obviously, he went on loan to Norwich when he was very young, and he was like player of the season, hands down. He was incredible. But you put him up against someone like Saar, who looks like he might be destined for world class status, and it's a different, it's different gravy. But that's the, you know, these are the wonderful things. I keep thinking we weren't talking about all of our players in these glowing terms since Pete Pochettino, where you've got players in every position, where you're actually thinking, wow, they're so great. And that's why it's sad that we haven't been able to put a full team out for so long, and we won't be able to put a full team out. We may not at all this season. We certainly won't be able to, you know, much before mid-February, what with one thing and another. The Romero thing is a worry because, as I say, the facts are that we tend to lose without him. But do you think he'll bring Dier in, or do you think he'll bring in Emerson Royale to play in centre-back now that Udogie's back to play at left-back?
I think against Brighton, I think he might even throw Ash Phillips in.
Really?
Is he back fit?
I think he is
on the bench at the weekend. He was on the bench at the weekend. I think the sort of side, the way Brighton play, and the fact they've got no Mitoma, no Dingra, and quite a few others missing,
right?
It's one that you might get away with. I wouldn't put him up against Solanke when we play Bournemouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'd because the problem is, if you play Dier at Brighton, you can't play him against Bournemouth because the games are so close together.
Mm. Right. And Dier's a better bet for Solanke, do you think, because of he's bigger and sort of, well, I don't know if he is bigger, but he's certainly more experienced, more grizzled, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Solanke's a bit of a...
I would go.
Yeah. For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. There's new Spurs Show merchandise, by the way, including a Postecoglou tribute design and a host of other eye-catching merchandise. Check them out and be the envy of your friends. Our monthly London live shows are up and running. It's a great time to sign up at season.spursshow.net. On Jan 17, we've got the return of Terry Naylor. In February, we have a special guest yet to be confirmed. And then on March the 20th, we have a Spurs Show evening with Paul Gascoigne. So the cost of your season ticket will be half repaid with that event alone. For individual show tickets, check out the link in the description of this podcast. And you can now get some Gazza tickets as a late Christmas present for yourself and a loved one. Follow us, please, on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And do leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. We're back on Jan 29th. So we'll see you then. But what he's tended to do in the past when Romero was out is he's put Emerson Royale in there because of the pace, hasn't he?
Which is also an idea. If Brighton plays Joao Pedro up front and not Evan Ferguson, then you probably get away with Emerson because he's not going to do you in the air.
Yeah.
The one I just couldn't understand is when we played Villa playing Emerson up against Watkins, when actually as limited as Dyer is, he could have matched him for physicality. Yeah.
Mm.
I just thought just one slight little error and he could have played Emerson at Wolves and not Dyer because Wolves don't have that 6'3", 6'4" striker.
Mm.
Just a couple of little things, but you know what? You can't knock hands.
No,
I mean, the hand has been dealt the first half of the season. And
I know.
Yeah,
just a few points. It's an astonishing achievement, really, when you think about it. I mean, you know, under any other manager, you'd be languaging sort of mid-table at this point and totally understanding why, but we'd all be absolutely, you know, dejected. And in fact, it was some kind of miracle to have got us in the top four, given the problems he's got. And, as we keep saying, every time you think these problems are subsiding, they're not.
I think it probably says wonders about his man management because he's keeping players like Højbjerg, Dyer, for instance. I mean, Dyer obviously came on the other day, but he seems to be, all right, he is just probably treading water till the end of his contract. But actually, we've all seen managers where, you know, the guy obviously does not want to play, but actually Dyer came on at the weekend, was very professional. Yeah. There's been other players that actually feel like they're going to come in and just help out the cause, help out the team, whereas previously with Mourinho and Conte, that was definitely not the case, really.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Had Conte still been manager this season, I mean, he literally would have pointed the finger at anyone, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same with Mourinho.
So, I mean, he's a breath. Yeah. I mean, Ange is a breath of fresh air. And I hope Levy trusts him, having looked at who we brought in the summer: Vicario, Madison, Van de Ven. And I'm pretty sure Ange, as he has said all along, if a transfer doesn't get his approval, it doesn't go ahead.
Yeah.
So these must have been players that he's happy with.
Approved. So yeah.
In terms of trusting him, what more evidence do you want?
Yeah. Has there been a Madison update? I mean, last we heard, maybe by the end of January?
Well, I heard that it was a very similar timeline to Van de Ven.
Mm.
If not the Man United game, certainly the next game after that's FA Cup fourth round on the 27th, and there's Brentford on the 31st, which, I mean, Bissouma could be back for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think the round of 16 games in both AFCON and the Asia Cup are the week before.
Right. So they could go out, yeah.
There is a chance.
I mean, he plays for Marley, doesn't he? Who are not a powerhouse, are they?
I wouldn't expect. There is a chance we could miss both Sarr and Son until the final of both, because both South Korea and Senegal both probably favourites for their respective tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost want South Korea to have an absolute stinker and go out in the group stage.
But that would be unprecedented.
Selfish.
Oh, totally. Yeah, we're all begging for that, of course.
Totally.
We're watching old Sa. We're watching Son cheering him on in a personal capacity, but hoping to God that his team loses. Yeah. Him and Klinsmann, fine.
Who's going to skip at the side?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
That is a really interesting question because, of course, Maddison and Romero are the vice captains. So, in their absence, who? Ben Davis would be an
Davis?
You would expect Ben Davis.
I think.
Yeah. Unless he really went completely radical and gave it to Saar, for example. Oh, no, what am I talking about? He was not going to be there either. No. Ben Davis. Yeah, Ben Davis.
Well, you imagine Poro
would be a great captain. He'd be a great captain. He really would. I mean, the thing that Poro's got over Davis is when everyone's fit, Poro plays. So in Davis, he'd be picking someone who's not necessarily going to play. Although I do think Davis is going to stick around very likely. He'd probably be because he's proved himself to be so incredibly useful. I mean, you know, he's very reliable, very
dependable. And a very good pro.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been really another unsung hero, really. But Richarlison's looked good again. His finish was lovely, wasn't it? A lovely little, just the sort of chance he'd been missing. And he's now tending to tuck them away. It was a really neat little finish. And good news on him, according to Ange, was that it was just a little minor back thing, but he thinks he's going to be all right. So that is a plus, isn't it?
It's a plus. And I see a lot of stick for Johnson on that app, Twitter.
Oh, really?
X, where you
sorry,
does nothing. Well, the thing is, he made the first goal and had a big hand in the second goal.
Yeah.
Because it was his shot.
Well, they're both. He got both assists, surely, didn't he? Because
the Pickford played.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want him to do? I mean, the kid had a nasty gash on his head.
Yeah.
He was probably pressed into playing at the weekend because there is no one else unless you drop into the into Phil or one of the under 21 boys.
Yeah.
Who I may say went into their Christmas break having played 13 games at under 21 level and won all 13.
That's amazing,
season.
Isn't it?
Amazing. Yeah.
They are. I've been to about seven or eight games.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell it.
Theo, let me tell you, if you think the first team take risks, you want to see this lot play.
Really? Oh, that's great. And they win. They take the risks and win every time. Amazing. Yeah. You've been seeing a lot of Donnelly, for example, and Norrington, and they're good players, yeah?
Norrington's not quite ready. He's a little bit raw still. And defenders, you tend to maybe wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But I'd have no qualms. If we were a couple of goals up, and comfortable in a game, I'd have no qualms seeing Donnelly come on and have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There something about him and obviously Alfie Devine, who's on loan at Port Vale. There's something about both of them. They've both got that fire and the desire, but they've also got that really bit of a nasty streak in them.
Love
I love in a midfielder.
Yeah.
And I think you have to have it.
And Donnelly's a flair player, right? He'll beat a couple.
He's a number 10.
Yeah,
he's a number 10. And he's predominantly more left-footed than right, but he can use both and has scored with both. And there's plenty of others in that team that are also going to be, I think, knocking on the door, certainly for next season.
Did you watch them last year?
The season after. I watched quite a few games last year.
What the difference is?
I think it's down to a lot of these players have moved up from the 18s who were quite good last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Dorrington and Donnelly are only just 18. Soonsop Bell is 18. I think it might be 19 now. Santiago is also quite young. You've got one or two others. The goalkeepers, there's just a couple of goalkeepers. You've got Josh Keeley, the Republic of Ireland under 21 goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And Luca Gunter, who's the England under 20 goalkeeper. So they've got two very good young goalkeepers there.
Right. And there's Mikey Moore. Is he in that team?
Mikey Moore is an age group down.
Right.
But the word on the grapevine is two or three of the 18s are going to get promoted to the 21s in January.
Yeah.
Which also tells me they're looking for loans for one of the two of these, this team.
Yeah.
Which in a way is a shame because I'd love to see what they could achieve this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, you have to be realistic and you want to see them go out and play.
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, you got to see them play against men every week, see how they get on.
Yeah. I mean, they played in the EFL Trophy and I went away to Colchester. Colchester did play a very young side, but they had a few experienced heads on the bench and we'd played in the previous league game. And the 21s won 5-0 there at an EFL club.
Wow.
And it wasn't their under 21 side. It was
pretty much a first team.
Members of their first team. First team squad. It might have been a shadow team, but they lost to Peterborough, who were, I think, near the top of League One.
Yeah.
And they lost to Cambridge. But they play really well in all three games. Those are the only two games they've lost all season, but to Football League clubs.
Yeah.
But everything else they've won. The 18s are also doing very well. But I think Ange coming in and getting everyone playing the same style.
Yeah.
So the 21s play the same style. The 18s play even the women play the same style.
Yeah.
I mean, as the winning goal against Arsenal showed
Absolutely. We talked about that last week. Yeah. Amazing.
If that had been Arsenal scoring that goal, the media and the pundits would have been going crackers about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic goal.
Brilliant. And it's nice to see they're all on this, you can see a plan.
Yeah.
And you can see the future if they all progress as they should do.
Yeah, it's lovely to see.
As we hope they will.
Yeah. All right, let's turn again to this next game, this Brighton game. Rob, how do you see it going?
Do you want to score or do you want to just talk?
Just talk give us, through it? Give me your...
Yeah, I think it'd be a tough game because of the number of fixtures. I know we're all playing, every team is playing lots of fixtures. I just think also it's a strange time of year for everybody to try and concentrate on playing decent football. So I think it's going to be a reasonably tough game, but I'm confident, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you get some weird results at this time of year. Don't Fulham have completely capitulated, haven't they, for example?
I think it should be an entertaining game. Yeah, it'll be an entertaining game because they play great football too. So
it will be good. I mean, Newcastle have fallen apart as well, haven't they? Sometimes you just can't. And then people say, "Oh, yeah, they've got all these injuries." Not really compared to us. Actually, if you look at who they're missing, they're not really the top line players that are missing. Really, apart from the Italian guy.
I think Newcastle have found out what a Champions League group stage campaign mixed in with a Premier League campaign, how hard it is. It's been 20 years since Newcastle were in Europe.
Yeah.
So, but Eddie Howe's never managed in Europe before.
That's right. He's probably in trouble though, isn't he? Given the owners, I would say.
I would say so. I agree with Rob. I think it'll be a tough game. Brighton are missing a whole host of players tomorrow night. Both their fullbacks are missing. Both their wingers are missing. Which affects the way they play. So they'll have. I think there'll be goals.
Yeah.
I think we could win. I'll come to the prediction a little bit later. I'm sure you'll ask us for a prediction.
Oh yeah. Don't worry about that.
But it'll be tight.
Yeah, what worries me is, I know we said it, we started the show with it because it is the headline, but I think the absence of Romero, we never look. I mean, Romero is a funny player, really, because he's got such a high profile, or one thing or another, mostly to do with his insane brutality. It's easy to forget what a good player he is. And with defenders, you know, a lot of what's good about them isn't that noticeable. It's really about, especially central defenders, it's such a fascinating position. When you really appreciate a good central defender, it's about savoir-faire. That's what I always think. They know where to be and what to do. And it's about timing and positioning. And those things are not obvious. But with him, you see the difference in results because he tends to be in the right place at the right time. All right, he makes the odd error. But generally, he is of a class of centre-half that you just can't easily replace. And that worries me a lot. But they've got injuries too.
And I think one of the big things with a defence and a goalkeeper is the goalkeeper's got to trust those in front of him.
Yeah.
But the defenders have also got to trust those behind them. Mm. And I think that trust between Lloris and the back four had completely, or back five, had completely gone last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Vicario has to the defenders, say, look, guys, if you do make a mistake or it is a slip up or we give the ball away, I'm here, I'll make saves. And he has. He's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Evidenced again in the Everton game. There were a couple of instances where you just thought, if that's Lloris,
yeah,
not Lloris in his prime, but if that was Lloris last season, we'd be one or two down here at this point.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely,
absolutely.
Huge positive he's been, isn't he? And we had no way of knowing what to expect with him, really, did we? He's young.
He was the cheap option, apparently.
Amazing, isn't that? I mean, and when you think that Onana costs, like, what did he cost? Like 60 million or something?
55 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And if Raya joins Arsenal
permanently,
I think that would be 30 million. Ramsdale was 35 million.
I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, it's
better than all of them, no question. You wouldn't swap him for any of those, you wouldn't even give it a second thought. I mean, he's in a different level. He's already, you think of him as on that elite level. He's up there with the best, you know, in this division. Yeah. And you just think, wow, that's brilliant. I mean, apparently he was regarded in Italy as the best young goalkeeper in Italy. The best goalkeeper in Italy was supposed to be Onana. Well, we've seen the outcome of those.
When you get Buffon, and I can't think who the other ex-Italian goalkeeper, both come out and say he's the best Italian goalkeeper in Serie A.
Yeah. It must mean something.
I think,
we've had a right touch.
And I don't think it'll be long before he gets an opportunity.
For Italy, yeah.
For Italy. I mean, Donnarumma is a very good goalkeeper, but he's becoming a little bit error-prone.
Yeah, a little bit erratic, yeah. Whereas Vicario, touch wood. I mean, he makes very few mistakes, doesn't they? Very few.
I can't think of a goal that we've conceded this season
because of him.
Turn around and say that was a mistake by Vicario.
Totally agree. And there aren't many goalkeepers at this stage of the season you can say that about.
No, what we've had, two or three penalties against us, two or three own goals.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right, let's do our score predictions, lads. It's time to make fools of ourselves. Rob, Brighton.
They very, very rarely get a goal, basically. And I think we either get two or three. I'm going to go conservative and go
2-1 to Tottenham Hotspur. Mark?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 2-3. I think the issues we've got.
Eric Dyer in centre back.
I just think is a handful.
Yeah.
But we'll score. I think we'll outscore them.
All right. I'm going to say 4-3 on that basis. Whoa, what a watch that'll be. We'll be ruined by that game. It'll be awful. And then we've got next game's my birthday. Bournemouth at home. Bournemouth are a difficult side, aren't they? That'll be. But we'll talk about that next show. But if we can get through this one and get 3 points, we really will be flying. That'll be four on the bounce and be right up there, and it'll look good.
I mean, I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you shouldn't look downwards, and behind you should only look upwards." And yes, it would put us closer to the top, but actually, the gap that's starting to build between sort of sixth and the top five is actually starting to get to. You think we're seven ahead of United? Is it
five?
No, four ahead of United
because they played a game more though.
They won.
They ended up with
so that could go to eight.
Yeah.
So that could go to eight, and United is sixth.
Yeah, this is what we want.
I mean, Chelsea are 14 points behind us.
Yeah,
well, I mean that's
Chelsea are an absolute joke. That's the other. That's the other great thing about this season, isn't it? I mean, if you look
they're closer to Sheffield United than they are us. Actually.
Yeah, in every respect.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that, what a lovely way to end the show. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out at Christmas to discuss. I've really enjoyed this. And I mean, generally, we're feeling pretty good, aren't we? And I hope to see you both very soon. Rob and Mark, and this is Theo Delaney in North London saying, kill you, Spurs!
For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. There's a Spurs Show merchandise available, new T-shirt designs, including a Postecoglou tribute, and a host of other eye-catching merchandise. Check them out and be the envy of your friends. Our monthly London live shows are well up and running. It's a great time to sign up at season.spursshow.net. On Jan 17th, we've got Terry Naylor coming back. On March the 20th, we've got a special Spurs Show evening with Paul Gascoigne. So the cost of your season ticket would be half repaid with that event alone. For individual show tickets, check out the link to the description of this podcast, or rather in the description of this podcast. You can now get Gazza tickets as a Christmas present for yourself and a loved one. Follow us on Facebook, X and Instagram. Please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. By the way, there will be Spurs shows across the festive period. On Friday, we release part one of the Clive and Paul Allen show we recorded recently at Dingwalls in Camden. And that was a great night. And Clive and Paul were brilliant. So I recommend that. That comes out on Friday, part one. We'll also be recording shows on December the 27th and the 29th, looking at our Christmas games for you. And we also hope to release part one of our three-part Terry Venables special around New Year's Day. And one other thing, on January the 22nd, we'll be recording the show at the Antwerp Arms, because that night sees the launch of Julie Welch's new book, Double Acts, A Modern History of Spurs in 10.5 Strike Partnerships. So she's looking at the great strike partnerships. She's looking at, like, you know, Greaves and Gilzean and Crooks and Archibald, etc. It's a great book, and I'll be interviewing Julie about it, and she'll be taking questions from the audience as well that night. So that's January 22nd. It's a free event, but you do need a ticket, because it's limited capacity, and the tickets are available for free at eventbrite.com. Hope to see you there.
Sports Social Podcast Network.